Welcome to Canucks Talk. Josh Elliott Wolf, Thomas Drantz here with you, coming to you live from the Kintec studio. Kintec Footwear and Orthotics working together with you in step. You can text in on the 650-650 Dunbar Lumber text line, Metro Vancouver's trusted choice for contractors and reno warriors. For over 50 years, visit them at one of their three locations to serve you or online at dunbarlumber.com. And this hour of Canucks Talk is brought to you by Rack Steel. You need forklifts.
Rack Steel.
Yes. You need forklifts.
Rack Steel, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It works better with the music underneath, but I like the effort. You need forklifts that perform under pressure.
Did you just say nine?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I did. You need forklifts that perform under pressure and pallet racking that maximizes your space. Visit them online at racksteel.com. It's a good vibes day in the studio.
Online or on nine?
Probably online.
Find us on nine.
Also, there's no German link to Rack Steel.
Yes, there is.
Other than we...
It's racksteel.du.
Could you imagine? Oh, my bad. No, it's racksteel.du. It's racksteel.com.
If people haven't noticed, Cam is not in the building today.
Hasn't been in for a few days. We've been off the rails because he's been sick.
Substitute teacher Dom is like absolutely losing control of the classroom.
Yeah. He's like, okay, I got to pull a movie out for the last after. Like,
No such thing. No.
We're going to watch another movie about Louis Riel.
I can call your parents. I have the ability to do that, I think.
also, Shermatty is the ultimate, like, just call me Mr. S.
Yeah. You guys are not going to get
just,
it.
Just Mr.
Ceramity?
S.
Ceramity?
Or as Dollywall calls me, Salamentary.
Well, yeah, Dollywall.
we'll bring Rick Dollywall in and Don Taylor in a few minutes for the crossover. My
Imagine
first
Dolly
ever.
With a German accent. Oh, God.
Well, so my family, like, I'm talking like my ancestral homeland is Bielsko, Biel in Poland. And every time I think about it, I am reminded of how Don Cherry says Kevin Bieksa. Just a weird thing.
Bieska?
Bieska.
Bielsko, right?
Yeah, it's close.
It's very close.
Luongo?
Yeah. Oh, man. Luongo's an easy one, too. Like, easy. It's basically a grocery store brand. Luongo's.
Yeah. Fair. We will get to the crossover. We'll also get to Jason Bukala later in the show. It's my first ever crossover. I'm excited.
Oh, man, I don't know if you should be.
Should I be? I don't know if I'm prepared.
You should
but
wear
I'm
a
excited.
Helmet, I think.
Yeah, that's fair. 650-650, Dunbar Lumber text line. You could text in there, but it's a good vibe show. It's a positive show because the Canucks won. They won handily. They beat the league's best Winnipeg Jets 6-2.
They played really well. You know what? Most important for me, as a person with eyeballs.
Yeah.
Was a really fun game to watch.
Oh,
I mean, it was. It wasn't like, you know, the Canucks weren't scoring off point shots, although they did, I guess, on the power play. That, you know, that was a fun game. Like, especially that first period, the regroup buzzer beater, you know, two rush goals, Quinn Hughes cooking. And look, I actually thought the Canucks defensively had some seams available. Like, this was also not, you know, a game so clean from the Canucks defensively that you could eat off of it, right? In that first period, you had Cole Perfetti shaking off the half wall and getting that backhand chance down low that Kevin Lankinen made a fabulous save on. You had Kevin Lankinen making a big save off Kyle Connor, although Kyle Connor had an empty net and really shot it back at the goaltender.
He sure did.
You know, you had that Ehlers rush that was, like, incredible. Incredible. And then where the game turns, you have that second incredible Ehlers rush where he falls down while taking the wrist shot and dings it off the post. And that would have tied it up 3-3. A couple minutes later, you have Besser pouncing on that loose puck before Hellebuck. Like, it wasn't a 6-2 game, I think, in terms of how the play actually unfolded. But the Canucks, as they haven't had enough of this year, had one of those games where the things they were trying worked. And the things the Jets were trying, you know, Kyle Connor misses on that one shot. He also had the sort of like wrap around Lankinen that he put off the post late in the third period, right? It was just a thrilling game. Lots of chances both ways. I mean, it felt nothing like the Canucks team that I've watched most of the season.
Yeah.
In a very good way.
It was very, very fun. And we now go to the crossover with Don Taylor and Rick Dollywall. Watch Donnie and Dolly Monday to Friday, 10 to noon. On Check TV, I mentioned it. It's my first crossover. I'm happy as a fiddle to be here. I'm excited. How are you guys doing?
Oh, happy as fiddles. I hope you're getting a lot of extra money to work with that guy. Holy smokes.
He tones it down, I think, when I'm here.
He's getting a lot of money. He's actually getting hazard pay for doing the crossover. I told him, though, he should have worn a helmet.
Yeah. Well, you got a hat on. What is that?
Gonzaga. It's March.
Gonzaga.
Yeah. Bulldogs. Right, yeah. Let's go.
Good call.
Making the Final Four this year. I like their draw.
Fair enough.
I'm not actually
a connection to Gonzaga.
None. I just like, you know what? We work a lot of nights, Donnie, and everyone knows my fondness for Eastern Conference sport or Eastern time zone sports watching. WCC games tip off sometimes at like 8:39. So there, you know, oftentimes I'll be like, I'll finish work, I'll get home from a game, I'll crack a beer, and I can watch the San Francisco Dons play the St. Mary's Gales.
Oh.
And it's like just halftime, yeah. So I can watch the whole second half. It's great. That's big, right. WCC fan.
Wonderful night.
San Francisco Dons, the alma mater of Bill Russell, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm, there we go. Santa Clara Broncos also
you
in
can look
that
it
league.
Up.
And alma mater of Steve Nash.
Wow. Well, Gonzaga had a lot of Canadian players.
Yeah,
the
they still do. They have Ryan Nemhart in this on this team, starting shooting guard. So a Canadian, some Canadian content in the NCAA tournament. Gentlemen, we got to talk about that game last night. Where did that come from?
Yeah.
Well, I heard you talking about just how fabulous that game was to watch from a Canuck point of view anyway. And where did that game come from? Where did the speed come from? They looked fast yesterday for the first time in a long time. But I will say this, that was a playoff type game yesterday. Just felt like a playoff type game. You know, pumped up to play the number one team in the NHL. No one expected them to do that. And let's take the weekend games out for a second against Chicago and the disappointing loss to Utah. But there was a playoff type game last week too in Calgary. And the Canucks came through with, they wanted a shootout, but they came through, relatively speaking, flying colors there. So, you know, maybe a couple of examples of things boding well for the Canucks when it comes to those types of important games as they go into a really tough road trip and some, as Rick Tocchet said yesterday, desperate buildings.
How many times have we said the opposition team's best players were their best players, but the Canucks weren't?
Yeah.
They didn't have any passengers last night. And last night, their top line was cooking. And Besser, I knew right away, was going to have a good game. Just the forecheck early, he was moving his feet. But it was huge for Besser to do what he did last night. No goals in 12 games prior, only two goals since Miller left, four goals in 26. You know, he did admit yesterday, guys, that, you know, the trade deadline played a big role in, you know, it was just a tough week for him. It was a tough week because of the uncertainty. He might have had to leave Vancouver for the first time in 9 years. But him, Höglander's been good for a while now. And we're just not going to talk about points, his speed and the tenacity. And Pettersson's got points in five straight. To have a legit top line like that going against, you know, a team that's first in the NHL. First in the NHL on the power play, first in the NHL, or second in the NHL on goals against, top goalie to do all that stuff. Just a fabulous night for the Canucks. If you're a Canuck fan, it just you just can't leave that game last night without feeling absolutely great.
And the entertainment factor, I mentioned the speed too. What about the passing? I mean, two or three of the goals are absolutely, you know, Habs of the 70s, like beautiful passing. And I'm sure Winnipeg had something to do with that, missing defensive assignments. But we haven't seen that for a long time. The goals were really, really pretty. And they talked about it after the game, off the rush, things we haven't seen for a long time.
Yeah, it's sort of interesting. Like, I come away from that game and you certainly hope that it's one of those where maybe some of the things that the Canucks haven't been able to do or haven't been executing consistently enough worked. And you hope that maybe there's some like positive reinforcement or confidence that can come from that. Because if this team can sustain anything like that, right? They're going to need to sustain something like that if they're going to outlast the Blues and the Flames, especially the Blues, given how facile their schedule is the rest of the way here. So, you know, you hope that this can be something that sort of snowballs. And yet, you know, one thing that sort of lingers in my mind, gentlemen, is you know, when I think about how we've talked about this team, it's not that we didn't think that nights like last night were possible. We've seen this team play 12 or 13 really great games over the course of this year. It's just that sometimes those games, like Chicago to Utah, right, or the, you know, the Dallas game and the Montreal game, both pretty disappointing, followed up by the first 40 minutes against Calgary being kind of disappointing, and then an inspired rally by the team. Mm-hmm. It's just that we still kind of don't have a sense of what we're going to get night to night. I feel like the last 10 days have really captured that, right? You think about the lows of Dallas, Montreal, the high of Calgary, the low of Utah, the high of last night. It's just like we're still on this roller coaster, boys.
Well, it's good for talk shows. What are you complaining about?
It's great. Yeah, it's wonderful.
You want the same thing all the time.
I would like more of that. I'm going to be honest with you, boys. Yeah. If we got more of what I saw
last night. If they did that all the time, nobody would complain.
I'd be very pleased. My eyeballs would thank them.
No, I agree. Like you want to be entertained. It's our jobs to watch these games. You want at the very least to be entertained, and those games have been few and far between. So I'm with you. That was a lot of fun to watch, and you want to see, you know, for the sake of Vancouver fans, who I care about more than I care about the actual team, I want to see them do something in the playoffs. And you know, nights like last night make me think, you know, maybe that's possible. Maybe there's an upset possible. Hey, that's the team they'd be matched up against, you would think, Winnipeg. So, yeah, it comes into the category of fun. I don't have a problem with that.
And Thomas, I think what you're getting at is which team is going to show up in St. Louis. Like, what are we expecting in St. Louis? That's the game of the year. We go from last night, game of the year, to basically, essentially, the rest of the schedule is game of the years. And it you want meaningful games in March. And, you know, Donnie brought up a good part. Actually,
I don't want meaningful games in March. I want to be very clear. I want meaningful games in May and June. March is too low a bar.
Okay, but you remember a GM not too many years ago that would say we're looking for meaningful games in March.
I know, and it became a meme for a reason, right? Like, the point is we want to see this organization aim higher than meaningful games in March.
No,
outlasting.
Get back to the good point. Yeah, sorry. I want to know what the good point I made was.
The good point was
it had to be one.
The good point in our text line today was about
thought I made the point.
No, you read the text. You didn't say the text. The text was there's so many young kids on this team right now, and they're going to benefit from these 14 games left. Look at Lekaramaki. Now they're playing in pressure games all the time. Look at Lekaramaki last night. Did he not look good?
Especially
limited
on the power
time,
play.
Only 10 Woo-hoo. Minutes. Yeah, absolutely. And so these kids, look at the Pettersson kid. He got back in. Mancini had a couple of games. He played on his off wing, and he didn't play a ton last night, but he's showing up and playing in pressure games. Meet pressure with pressure. Talk, it says all the time. But there are some young kids on this roster who are going to get some really good ice time. Well, not a ton of ice time, but feel these pressure games, and they can only be better for it next year and the year after. But that's what the text was, Don, that some of these young kids on this Vancouver roster are, and we didn't even bring it up, Don. You and I didn't talk about it, and you read the text.
We did talk about it.
Yeah, I'm kidding, we did, but we didn't bring it up before the text. But anyways, these young kids can only get better playing in these last 14 games. What the text
was. Why don't you think of things like that?
Sorry, did the text come from Jim in Oregon? Was it directly from Jim in Oregon?
No, it came from Taj in Cloverdale. Something like that.
Heavy inside joke.
inside joke. Anyways.
So it's an important six-game road trip here, obviously starting in St. Louis with like the most pivotal game of the road trip. I do think you need to see what you saw last night from Besser, and it felt like a huge confidence boost for Brock Besser last night. He had the first goal, and it felt like was this weight off his shoulder and had 3 points in the game. Like, it was a great game for him, great game for that line. You need that specifically, I think, to carry over into this road trip if you're going to do what you need to do over these next six games.
Rick Tocchet talked a lot about his first goal last night, the deflection in front on the power play. And yeah, it was very, very impressive. It takes a lot of skill to do that when the shot from Hughes is knee high and you've got to get your stick in the right place and have the courage to stand in front of the net, even on a power play. But I was actually more impressed by the second goal, not so much by the way it was scored, but the fact he started the play in behind the net, moving his feet. He got the puck back to the point. It was just moving his feet there and making the smart play back to the point, getting back to the front of the net. I thought that was there was just a lot of movement there from Brock Besser that we haven't seen much of over the last several weeks. I was really impressed by that. Just his mood afterwards, as you would expect, was much better than it was the previous 2 weeks. But I really liked that second goal and the setup to Hoglander as well with the passing with Pettersson.
Yeah,
just absolutely
awesome.
Beautiful. Again, a lot of movement there that we haven't seen.
And just like Pedersen's tying goal in Calgary, you saw his reaction, right? You got the smile back on the face. And last night, Besser, you saw the smile back on the face. These things are important, and people, Besser's gone through a tough stretch here. Besser's got to get going on two fronts. One, to help the Vancouver Canucks make the playoffs because they need his goal scoring. And second of all, if he does hit July 1st, it's probably in his best interest to keep scoring at a pretty good clip. Because he just went through since JT Miller left, he's gone through a tough time, last 18 games. Mm-hmm. And you can't deny that. He's got to get going on two fronts. He's got to help his hockey club win games. And if he's looking for that payday on July 1st, he's got to start scoring at a pretty good clip here the rest of the way, too.
You know what, guys? We had a real interesting poll question today. You guys should have used it. But
I was going to bring it up.
We don't do poll questions.
Oh, yeah.
At Canucks Talk.
Why?
I don't know.
Yeah, I've just seen if you're awake there. Who should the Canucks prioritize signing when it comes to the two gentlemen who scored two goals last night?
I was surprised by the result.
Got to the 20-goal mark.
Yeah.
Split. But that's where I was going is, in fact, I think Pugh Suter ended up, if you want to call it winning the poll,
sure.
Finishing ahead in the poll. And, this has a lot to do with what they would expect in terms of term and money. Besser's, going to demand a lot more, you would think, and deservedly so. But there's a little recency bias there, I guess, although Besser got the two goals last night. But I was surprised, too. More people thought, it would be smarter to sign Suter rather than Besser. And maybe that has a lot to do with that 8x8 figure that's been thrown around when it comes to Besser. But I was surprised.
I'm sorry for soaring the results of your poll, gentlemen, but I voted for Pugh Suter 753 times. Made sure Tash from Cloverdale followed suit.
Okay.
So I want to ask you guys quickly, I want to pivot, because you'd mentioned the second goal. And one thing about Besser since the Miller trade, right? So 5-on-5, we know how well those two complemented each other, especially with the sort of cycle game below the hash marks and how much offense they were able to generate with one another at even strength. But the other thing that happened once this club dealt Miller on the power play was that it pulled Besser out to run the flanks, right? And away from the net front, where he's become a really good screener, a really good playmaker from down low. Like, I actually like Besser most as a net front guy, despite what we sort of think of him playing, with like the Twins in his rookie year as sort of an up-high sniper. I think his game's developed to the point where, like, I want him down low using his size, getting in goalies' eyes, deflecting shots. We've talked a lot about the growth of his game. That's one of the areas where his game has grown the most. Mm-hmm. And watching Lekkerimäki run the power play from the flank last night, look, it was only a relatively brief opportunity, and it ended with a goal. But I don't know, man. I don't have much appetite to not see Lekkerimäki on power play one, or to frame it differently, I want to see Lekkerimäki stay with that first power play unit, both because I like Besser down low, and because I was really impressed by the composure of that young man when the Canucks were on the man advantage last night.
Ray Ferraro talked about how he felt that Lekkerimäki could move a little further towards the dot.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, he really liked what he saw from him in terms of being closer to the net when you're taking that shot. Lekkerimäki, and I always wonder what, with Besser and his shot. Now, I wonder with the injuries over the years where that shot is at versus what you talked about, Thomas, mm-hmm. how he was such a sniper his first year or two in the NHL. But Lekkerimäki almost reminds me – of what Besser was his first couple of years. And that's not really a knock on Besser, because I'm like you, Thomas. I love the way that his game has developed, where he can go to the front of the net, where he can win board battles, where he can be used at the end of games where they're leading, you know, by a goal. There's a lot there, but I think there's a lot there too with Lekker Mäki, maybe reminding some people of a younger Brock Besser.
Interesting. And you know, remember earlier in the year, guys, you guys heard a lot of trade Besser, Lekker Mäki's ready. You know, he's going to be the fill-in. He's going to be the guy that replaces Brock. But, I mean, I don't think he's there to replace Brock yet. I don't think he's a full-time NHLer yet, but who knows? It might take a little bit more longer, and maybe it's a good thing the Canucks didn't get rid of Besser at the deadline, because take a look at their top six wingers in the top six. You know, honestly, it's Besser and DeBrusque are the only two top six wingers you can say they have that play there with regularity. And you know what? Lekker Mäki's going to be a good one. He's got – Donnie brings up his – you know, his stature in terms of putting on some weight and muscle, and this is a big summer for him, you know, to come back a little bit, put some weight on, put some muscle on. But next year, I don't know when that kid's going to take off, but I think he is. But it's that kid is on his way. There's no question about it.
You know what the strangest part of last night's game might have been is that they played with so much spark, so much energy, and so much speed, and they found out earlier in the day that Connor Garland, who embodies all those qualities, wasn't going to be playing in that game. So it was extra impressive that way.
Yeah.
I actually was thinking when Garland – did you guys watch Masters of the Air on Apple Plus? Anyone?
No.
No.
It's too highbrow.
No. Too highbrow. I agree. It sounds highbrow, just Masters
I don't know
of
what
the
it
Air.
Is.
It's really good. Yeah. It's about World War II bombers. Anyway, really good, but they'll have these missions or whatever, and they're in those like flying fortresses that are basically defenseless, you know, and it's like one engine goes down, another engine goes down, like, and there's attack, you know, there's a storm, like, and it's just like the situation gets worse and worse and worse as they go. And when I saw Garland not on the ice for warm-ups last night, I was like, oh boy, like, you know, he's one of three Canucks forwards who until last night, or three Canucks skaters until last night, who played every game. Him, DeBrusque, Bluger, right? He's one of this team's like last engines that was still going at full capacity, you know? And when they lost him, I was like, oh boy, like this is like Masters of the Air. You know, you get the Joshua diagnosis, you get the tragedy with Derek Forbert's dad, you get the Demko injury taking longer, the Miller saga, and then trade. Hronek misses 6 weeks. Hughes, and it's like this one guy has been, you know, at least you knew that Garland was going to be driving a line and working his tail off. And then they get into that game last night against the best team in hockey, and you're just like, man, and they lose that guy. And then, of course, they put in their best performance of the year, which is very Vancouver Canucks of them.
Absolutely.
Let's mark this down. Shows you don't want to watch. Masters of the Air. Okay,
so, hey, hold it.
You'd like it.
Well, then you tell us you...
No,
I've been told you watch hockey 24-7, 7 days a week, Thomas. How you got time to watch Masters of the Air?
We all have time, Rick.
You squeeze time in.
It aired in the summer, first of all.
Okay.
Oh, so it's not okay.
Oh, I see.
I'm sorry.
You're watching Masters of the Air.
I think I'm like a lot of people. Yeah. I go home, I have the game on. I'm not always like watching it super closely, but I have hockey on most of the day. I PVR some of the games. I put them on in the morning. Like, I've just always got games on. That's my job. And I love it.
All right. Masters of the Air.
It actually sounds pretty good.
Masters of the Air.
Yeah, you'd like it. Great cast.
So,
Rick, Rick, you should watch more hockey. Don't just look at the standings.
Anyway.
Says the guy who's been ripping the St. Louis Blues for 7 months and then bragging about Utah like they're going to win the next seven cups. And what's happening there, Thomas? Mr. I watch hockey 24-7?
Well, St. Louis is
Masters
on a
of the air.
St. Louis is on a mega heater, but you saw.
Oh, I see.
You saw the gear.
I see.
We got a nice schedule too, St. Louis.
The schedule is the key. But you saw the gear that Utah can hit with that team speed. I mean, that's an impressive group. They're playing the right way and a lot of fun to watch. Sorry, I enjoy
last
watching.
Last night aside.
Wow. Yeah. Edmonton's gonna go nuke on
that's
you eventually.
Happen.
Yeah, exactly. That happens.
Yep.
One thing we were talking about yesterday on the show was this upcoming road trip. You got six games, and we were trying to figure out, like, hey, you kind of have to start Kevin Lankinen in all of these unless you get Thatcher Demko back at some point. Rick Tocchet did say yesterday that he's going on the trip, if even just to practice. Do you have any updates on Thatcher Demko and his status?
No, just obviously it's a huge positive that he's going on the trip. I just been told that practices are key. If you know, and the schedule hasn't allowed for a lot of practices the last couple of weeks because of so many back-to-backs, Josh. But I don't see any back-to-backs on this current road trip coming up. If he can get in enough practice time, I wouldn't rule out him playing at the tail end of this. I wouldn't rule that out. But the key I was told for Demko to play is strictly practices and team practices. How many can you get in? That, I believe, is the key. And if they can get in enough, it wouldn't surprise me if he plays a game towards the tail end of the trip, if they get enough practice time for him.
Guys, we had Corey Schneider on the show at the top of our second hour, who's now with the NHL Network.
He's
and
the
if
best.
There's a goaltender who knows... No, he's really good.
Yeah.
Masters of the crease, he said.
New show.
Corey was talking about, and remember, this is a guy who was on top of the world, and then his career became injury-ridden. And we asked him, you know, what advice would you give Thatcher Demko right now? And from the outside looking in, he feels that Demko's come back too soon. Don't come back until you're 100% healthy. That's what he would tell him. And, you know, the implication was that Corey had made that mistake, you know, throughout his career and throughout his injuries. And so, I'm not sure what's going to happen, you know, with – I know he's on the road trip, but that was his advice to Thatcher Demko. Don't try to push it. Don't try to be a hero. Think of your career. Think of the organization that's paying you fairly well, and don't come back until you're 100%.
It's so hard for those guys because to stop pucks the way Schneider and Demko do, you have to want to be in every game. Like, you know, it's so hard to rewire your own competitive... So, by the way, the Jets with Hellebuyck looked very human last night. Played his 53rd game of the season. He's going to play 60-plus again. And what's going to happen? He's going to be worn down by the time he gets to the playoffs. And the best goaltender in the world is not going to be at his best when the stakes are highest. And people are going to say he can't win the big one. When the problem is that he's just being overused in the regular season, much like Corey Schneider's old platoon mate, Roberto Luongo, in his Vancouver heyday. Mm. Anyway. Thanks for doing the crossword.
Thank you.
Good job,
thank
Josh.
You guys. It was tame, so I think
relatively painless.
We can confidently say Jamie is the issue. Jamie is the pot stirrer.
Yes, big time.
100%. He'll be back next week, and we'll do this again next week. Thank you to you guys.
Thanks, Josh. Thanks, Thomas.
Good job, guys. Good job. And make sure you watch Masters of the Air, Thomas.
Yes.
Well, Masters of the Air.
Instead, I'll watch your show, Rick, because you guys are the masters of being on air.
All right.
Very good. Not bad. Adios.
Bye. Right. See you guys. There is Don Taylor and Rick Dollywall. You can watch Donnie and Dolly Monday to Friday, 10 to noon on Check TV. That was the crossover.
Really quickly, before we go to break, and I know Dom's going to kill you, but
no,
just,
I want to say Masters of the Air, fantastic.
Okay, well,
really?
I want to watch.
That.
I want to share some feedback from the Dunbar Lumber 650-650 text line. Masters of the Air is excellent. Done by the same producers as Band of Brothers, notes Nick.
And this one, unsigned Masters of the Air, is amazing. Good shout, Drance.
Yep.
So people are on. I will say, every single
I appreciate
TV show I've watched,
the Masters of the Air reference, Drancer.
So it's a...
Austin Butler, man.
Oh, it's that show.
Yeah.
Love that guy.
And Dua Lipa's boyfriend.
Yeah.
Who we hate.
Fiance.
Oh, wow. Good for him. I hate him even more.
Do we hate him more now? Yeah.
Callum Turner.
Screw that
guy. Hopefully that one goes like Sydney Sweeney's engagement.
Ooh.
Aren't you married?
Yeah, you can still root for things.
I don't care.
Yeah.
It's just funny when you go on Twitter and it's like the headline is Sydney Sweeney's engagement is postponed. And there's just like a bunch of Twitter accounts celebrating like their team won a championship.
Yeah, it's like I used to pray for times like this.
Yeah, exactly. It's just funny.
Hey, sweetie, Katie, if you're listening, I love you.
Yeah. Shooting my shot to Everett's finest.
It is Canucks Talk. Josh Elliott Wolf, Thomas Drance. On the other side, we'll get more into last night's game and the upcoming road trip. That's coming up.
Aren't you married?
Sportsnet 650.
No, it came from Taj in Cloverdale. inside joke.
I love inside jokes. Love to be a part of one someday.